sparkling waters, I can put cans, I can put bottles, all of that together to just widen the variety of options for my consumers. Customer service is always good and important. Communications, and we talk about this several different times when we have our committee meetings. We always have a training topic there too. Finding the best sales or opportunities, or best get your product at the cheapest price so you can make the most profit on it. Being responsible to keep our records. We have reports we have to send in every month to make Dave happy. And then we have, of course, our state report, you know, our sales taxes and our income taxes and all that other stuff to do a legitimate business. And those basic skills can be shared with any business in the future if we continue with something else. And, you know, the vending is kind of a misnomer because it's really supposed to help with cafeterias and snack bars and anything else that might come up in the future. That's my little spiel. I didn't make it clear enough. Just ask for clarification, and I'll do my best.
Well, thank you, Sandy. You know, one of the things I encourage other commissioners to do is if you ever get a chance, you know, sit in on one of their quarterly meetings. And, you know, what always impresses me is if the business is like any other business, this is a livelihood. I've known you for years, Sandy, and I appreciate how you help some of the younger vendors or the ones that maybe are having, you know, some type of life crisis, and how you just naturally pitch in and help them through those situations. So thank you for your leadership and helping be a big part of the reason that the vending program has grown so much over the last, you know, 5 to 7 years. So thank you, Sandy.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, Jeremy, I'll introduce you, Jeremy Ritchie. Same questions as Sandy. How long have you been a vendor? What drew you to the NBE program initially, and why you've stayed? And then also a bit about your business, sites you serve, typical work week, and what is involved in running your business besides just putting product into machines.
Okay. Well, as I said, my name is Jeremy Ritchie. A lot of the stuff I'll probably end up regurgitating the same as Sandy said, because a lot of it is the same. I currently serve 12 places, a total of about, I believe, right around that 50, 52 machines. I've been doing it going on 2 years in April. Like Eric said, I started right when COVID started, so then you scratch your head, think, what the heck was I thinking? So, but I've been able to keep my head afloat and doing okay. So, typical work week for me is I go 2 to 3 times a week to different locations, fill machines, check inventory, see what I need. The days I'm not at my sites, I work from my office and I send out product orders to Coke, Pepsi, Vistar, some of the other places I get stuff through. A lot of paperwork at times, especially towards the end of the month when we have to do our reports for Dave, making sure everything's there, adds up right. Big part of is making sure you, when you're filling a machine, is what we call FIFO, first in, first out product. A lot of people like to shove their new stuff right in front because they don't want to move stuff around, which leaves a lot of expired product in behind. Or if you over order, you end up with a lot of expired product. Opportunity arise. So I decided to try the vending out. asked me a question, Eric. I lost my train of thought.
I think you've hit on a majority of what of the questions I ask. I'm sure Sandy and Jeremy would be happy to answer any questions the commissioners may have.
Okay, well, Jeremy, since you're fairly new, you know, with the COVID virus and, you know, all this new fears or new awareness to, you know, contact services and that, how much has COVID and the awareness of, you know, contact services and cleanliness affected your business? Is it just something now that's ingrained, or is it something that you have to constantly be changing and updating, you know, your practices on?
My opinion, at the very beginning, it was a huge issue because there were so many unknowns with the virus, how it worked, all those things. Even looking around at some of the locations when they would come in and their cleaning crews would come in and wipe everything down, rubbing alcohols and all kinds of stuff. Over time, things have come about where it only lives for so long. There's different cleaning products out there that last longer on the surfaces. So some of that contactlessness, I think, is honestly, whether it be because people are just tired of COVID or not being as cautious about it, or if just science has shown that it's not as big of a deal that way, it's tapered off a lot. I mean, a lot of my locations where they had, for instance, at one of the locations, their cleaning crew would come in every couple hours, and I mean, it would smell from whatever cleaner they choose. Now it's very seldom do you see them come in. So it's and that's a federal site. So it's, I think, just over time, things we've learned about it and the contact thing, so has changed.
And that sounds like you've adapted and grown and kind of altered your business practices as needed to satisfy the facilities.
That's something you always have to do, no matter it's because of COVID or whatever it may be. You always got to be observant around you and just kind of, you want to stay your machines clean as well as you can anyway. And then on top of that, you know, just knowing what situations you are in.
Mm-hmm. Well, very good. Well, thank you, Sandy. And
can I add one thing to that,
please.
Mark?
Please.
One thing that I've stressed at several different times with our meetings and during this pandemic, when we're out there being the positive representatives of what blind people can do, and to let our customers know that we are on top of the cleanliness issues and all that. Masks are required at my location in all federal facilities. But I kind of do exaggerated motions somewhat. It's like open the machines and use hand sanitizer, so that they see that, and then washing my hands at the sink afterwards, you know, before touching the product. And all that kind of stuff, so that they see that I'm concerned about their health as well. And then wiping down our machines. There's been some products that the commission had gotten us that helps kill the viruses on the surfaces for, like Jeremy was saying, an extended time. So, you know, being aware of that. I mean, I used to like to be the ones that was in the background and didn't see me. I was just filling the machine. But I've made it more of an effort.
Sure.
That when I am there and I know there's a person there, like I said, I'm a little more exaggerated with it, but I usually have a hand sanitizer in my pocket. And, you know, I always try to let them see that I am taking care of health issues like I should, so that they feel more comfortable using the machines.
I think that's an important part of the presentation and the sales. Perception is the reality, and if you act like you know what you're doing, you do know what you're doing. So and they see that, and I think they appreciate that, because I could sense that some might have fears to even go to the vending machines. So, you know, anything that you can do to convey, you know, confidence in your practices and products will definitely help your business. So that's a very wise business practice, and one that I'm sure you're sharing with your counterparts. So very important. I would notice that, feel a lot more ease using your machines. So thank you. We're getting kind of behind on schedule, but this is a very important subject, and did any of the commissioners have any questions for Sandy or Jeremy? And don't feel rushed. Their time's important, and we have invested a lot in the vending program the last several years because it is important. So Linda or Brent or any Cheryl or Kimberly, if you have any questions, you know, feel free to shout them out now or comments. Okay, well, very good. This has been a very awesome presentation. It's probably one of the things that I have seen the greatest growth in the commission since I've been around. And it's happened because we've committed dollars, we've committed time, and I think the mini Randolph Shepherd bill we got passed a couple of years ago was very important. So any final thoughts, Eric, before we move on?
Not really. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about the NBE program. It's certainly something I'm passionate about. And if any of the commissioners are ever in the area of the state capitol building, give me a call. I'll meet you out there and show you our fanciest new machine that we're kind of doing a test run with there. It's a fresh brew coffee machine, and I'll show you how neat it is and buy you a cup of coffee.
Very good. Well, I think thank you, Eric and Dave and Sandy and Jeremy, and good work. Keep up the good work. You know, as we spend more money and commit more resources, we even expect more good results. So I hope 5-10 years from now, it's even a more lucrative vocation people want to pursue, and there's more vending opportunity. So thank you. My clock shows that it's like 10:21. We're behind a little bit on schedule, but that's okay. Next, we were supposed to take like a 15-minute break, but I would like to shorten that to let's get back together about, let's say, 10:30. So that'll give you about 8 minutes to kind of take a break, stretch, do whatever you need to do, and we'll resume our meeting at 10:30, okay? All right. Thank you.